next on the 5 o'clock report.
Breaking news. There are reports that the suspect has been arrested.
Things are moving. We're seeing an increase.
Yes, I call the genocide.
Putin only understands strength.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Our top story, captured.
Breaking news. There are reports that the suspect has been arrested.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Mark Webster, and that was Governor Kathy Hochul, who was speaking at an unrelated event when she got the news this afternoon that the suspected New York City subway attacker had been caught. Frank James was wanted for shooting 10 people on a train as it pulled into a Brooklyn station Tuesday morning. NYPD Police Commissioner Keshat Sewell.
Frank Robert James was stopped on the street and arrested by members of the New York City Police Department. Officers, in response to a Crime Stoppers tip, stopped Mr. James at 1:42 p.m. at the corner of St. Mark's Place and First Avenue in Manhattan.
Sewell said James will be charged on Tuesday's mass shooting.
He was taken into custody without incident and has been transported to an NYPD facility. He will be charged with committing yesterday's appalling crime in Brooklyn.
Police Chief James Essex.
Mr. James is a male, 62 years old. He is known to us and has ties in Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York City.
Essex detailed evidence that was recovered by police.
This station is three blocks from where we recovered the U-Haul truck that he rented in Philadelphia. The key to that truck was recovered at the crime scene. This jacket, the distinctive orange jacket, was also recovered.
The chief says James apparently escaped the shooting scene by hopping on a different train.
We believe, but this is still early in the investigation, that after firing his weapon 33 times at innocent New York City subway riders, Mr. James boarded an R train that had pulled into the station.
Another official at this afternoon's news conference spoke about the charges James now faces.
Frank James has been charged by complaint in Brooklyn federal court, which prohibits terrorist and other violent attacks against mass transportation systems.
In the massive manhunt for James, investigators uncovered numerous rambling and disturbing videos posted by the suspect, WCBS reporter Sean Adams.
They include lengthy rants about white people, an impending race war, comments about the war in Ukraine, prison in America, Abu Ghraib, the homeless on New York City subways, and Mayor Adams. Police believe these racist ramblings were a prelude to the shooting rampage aboard the N train.
In one of those videos, James calls himself a victim of the mayor's mental health program and says he's full of hate, anger, and bitterness. Despite the attack, New Yorkers, including this woman, were back on the trains this morning.
The subway was still packed today, but people are looking around and being more cautious. I did notice that. I didn't see a lot of kids on the train today, though, because there's two schools here, and there's normally a lot of kids on the train.
Elsewhere this afternoon, the White House chief medical advisor says an extension of the federal mask mandate for planes and other modes of public transportation is the prudent thing to do. The CDC today extending the mandate until May 3rd.
It isn't like things are static. Things are moving. We're seeing an increase throughout the country.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, who says more time's needed to get a handle on what's happening across the country with a recent uptick in cases. Now to the other side of the world, the mayor of Mariupol, Ukraine, says over 100,000 people are still waiting to be evacuated from that city. He also claims in a new interview that Russian forces have deployed an unconfirmed substance at the southern port city. The mayor says some residents have been complaining about bad taste in the mouth and deteriorating health because of exposure to that substance, though they've been unable to get samples of it. President Biden raised some eyebrows yesterday with his characterization of the Russian invasion as genocide. Phil Hewlett explains.
The word carries a lot of weight.
Yes, I called it genocide.
President Biden sticking to his recent characterization of what Russia is doing in Ukraine. During a speech in Iowa yesterday about rising prices, he said this about Vladimir Putin's invasion.
None of it should hinge on whether a dictator declares war and commits genocide.
The U.S. and other countries have long been signed on to a treaty that requires intervention when genocide is formally identified. Biden says he'll wait for lawyers to make that distinction. I'm Phil Hewlett. NBC News Radio.
President Biden today authorized another $800 million in security assistance for Ukraine. That includes helicopters, artillery systems, ammunition, and armored vehicles. Biden spoke with Ukrainian President Zelensky for about an hour before making that announcement. Former Vice President Mike Pence addressed the Ukraine situation during his speech at the University of Virginia last night, calling Russia's invasion an unconscionable war of aggression. He backed sending more military aid to Ukraine.
Putin only understands strength. And America must meet this moment with American strength.
The former VP also noted how other enemies of America, such as North Korea and China, have been emboldened of late.
After years of quiet, North Korea is firing missiles again. China seems to act in a more menacing way in the Taiwan Straits every single day. Iran threatens to restart its nuclear program.
Yes, in fact, the Jerusalem Post is reporting today that Israeli diplomatic sources have told them that Iran has now accumulated nearly enough enriched uranium to construct a crude nuclear bomb. That news comes amid efforts by the Biden administration to restore the Iran nuclear agreement, which was scrapped by the Trump administration when it said there were being lies told by the Iranian government about its compliance. Israel has a longstanding policy that it will not allow a nuclear-armed Iran. Jews in war-torn Ukraine, as well as those fleeing the country, are preparing to celebrate Passover on Friday.
The holiday marks the exodus of enslaved Jews led by Moses from Egypt to Israel. And this year, the story is playing out in real time in the lives of Ukrainian Jews as many leave their homes. A number of organizations are holding seders both in person as well as online.
That's correspondent Rich Thomason. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report today, Pennsylvania's Republican U.S. Senate primary in the spotlight, a pair of Buffalo cops in the clear, and the sounds of history.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Our call for tonight, mostly cloudy. There'll be some showers crossing the area. We'll have to be on guard for a locally heavy thunderstorm this evening as temperatures drop back into the 50s and low 60s. Tomorrow, some showers around, especially in the morning. Skies clearing from the west in the afternoon, breezy. High temps will be in the 60s and 70s, but those temperatures drop through the day back into the 50s. And on Friday, it's a sun-cloud mix and cool. 50s and low 60s. The rest of Easter weekend looks chilly. Showers on Saturday, mostly cloudy on Easter Sunday.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Now checking the stories making news where you live across New York and Pennsylvania. We'll start in PA, where the Keystone State's Republican U.S. Senate primary race continues to grab national attention. In the most recent poll, which was commissioned by the super PAC supporting his campaign, David McCormick leads his celebrity rival Mehmet Oz by 6 points. Oz, better known to TV viewers as Dr. Oz, picked up the endorsement of former President Donald Trump over the weekend, with Trump calling Oz smart and tough. Some Republican observers, though, question Oz's conservative credentials, pointing to liberal statements he made during the run of his TV show. Speaking with Fox News, McCormick said those concerns are valid.
Whether it's about restrictions on guns or whether it's about support for transgender transitions for children or whether it's opposition to fracking. He actually argued for a moratorium like New York in Pennsylvania. Those positions don't hold well with primary voters of Pennsylvania. They're not conservative positions.
The PA primary is May 17th. Pennsylvania Senate Republicans have announced a bill to scrap ballot drop boxes. The measure would require voters to cast ballots at their local county election office or through the mail instead. One Lancaster protester tells Fox 43.
We need this option for people who use the mail-in ballot to give them another way of returning it. The postal system is not adequate for some people.
Earlier this month, Lehigh County DA Jim Martin said there were likely hundreds of instances where people deposited more than one ballot into those drop boxes during the fall 2021 election cycle. A bill has passed the Pennsylvania State House that would not allow transgender athletes to compete in girls and women's sports. The measure now goes to the state Senate. Well, Governor Tom Wolf has said he will veto the bill if and when it makes it to his desk. And fans of the Twitter account of the Pennsylvania House Republican Caucus were left in the dark for about 5 hours Tuesday. A spokesman for the caucus says the account was suspended without explanation. Even though service was restored before 9 p.m., the spokesman says the group has yet to receive any news from Twitter on why it was suspended. Now to New York State. A pair of cops are in the clear in the Queen City.
Two Buffalo police officers facing departmental charges and national criticism for knocking down a 75-year-old protester have been cleared of any wrongdoing.
That's News 4's Jackie Walker, who says officers Aaron Trigalski and Robert McCabe were clearing protesters out of Niagara Square in June 2020 when they were approached by demonstrator Martin Gugino, who fell and hit his head.
He was in the hospital for weeks recovering. The Buffalo Police Union says a state arbitrator found the officers' use of force was justified. They had been facing four departmental charges.
A grand jury also chose not to indict the officers on charges of felony assault. That incident happened amid nationwide protests following the death of George Floyd. Starting next week, the Erie County Department of Health will be offering a new treatment option to people who have contracted COVID-19. Beginning Monday, anyone who receives a positive result after being screened at a county testing site can get a prescription for Paxlovid. The antiviral drug is used to help people over the age of 12 with a mild or moderate case of the coronavirus. A prescription for the medication will be sent to the person's pharmacy for pickup, and the cost is generally covered by insurance plans. The Chautauqua County Sheriff's Office is continuing its investigation into the death of a man who fell over a cliff along Lake Erie. Deputies were called to a location on Route 5 in the town of Sheridan yesterday, arrived to find badly injured 66-year-old Gary Meadows. He was taken to a nearby hospital where he died. No other information on that tragedy has been released. Amazon begins hiring for warehouse jobs in Clay, New York. The online retail giant has started advertising for a variety of posts. Located just north of Syracuse, the distribution center is slated to create 1,500 full-time jobs. And using technology to deal with New York State's old gas wells. State environmental and energy officials gathered at SUNY Binghamton yesterday to showcase a plan to locate and map abandoned gas wells around the southern tier and central New York. The program will use drones equipped with magnetometers to pinpoint those wells, some of which date back more than 100 years. The long-term plan is to use federal funding then to cap the wells, which can be a significant source of methane emissions. That's thought to be a contributor to so-called greenhouse gases. Your nightly market report is next, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors.
Wall Street closing today with stocks higher as earnings season begins. Major players like Delta Airlines gave a boost to stocks after posting better-than-expected results for the quarter. The numbers come as a key inflation report showed the highest rate since 1981. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 344 points, the S&P 500 jumped by 49, and the NASDAQ rose 272 points. Ambassador Advisors, a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Details are available online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Hi, I'm Rob West with your Money Wise Minute. Here's a crash course on money. First, prepare for the inevitable. Have an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months living expenses. Emergencies will always crop up. Proverbs 22:3 tells us the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Next, always get two or three offers when financing a home. It's probably the biggest financial decision you'll ever make. And finally, stop putting off saving for retirement. The decision to delay your investing is based on a false assumption that you'll have more money available in the years ahead. Proverbs 27:1 teaches, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." Connect with a certified Kingdom advisor who's been trained to deliver financial advice that aligns with your Christian values by visiting our website, moneywise.org.
Coming up on the 5 o'clock report, Sounds for the Ages.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The passage of a cold front tomorrow morning will send temperatures back down heading into the weekend. Our call for tonight, mostly cloudy. There'll be some showers crossing the area. We'll have to be on guard for a locally heavy thunderstorm this evening as temperatures drop back into the 50s and low 60s. Tomorrow, some showers around, especially in the morning. Skies clearing from the west in the afternoon, breezy. High temps will be in the 60s and 70s, but those temperatures drop through the day. Back into the 50s, and on Friday, it's a sun-cloud mix and cool. 50s and low 60s. The rest of Easter weekend looks chilly. Showers on Saturday, mostly cloudy on Easter Sunday.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at 5, Hank Aaron's 715th home run is being preserved in the National Recording Registry at the Library of Congress.
That ball is going to be out of here. It's gone.
So, too, is FDR's famous speech.
December 7, 1941. A date which will live in infamy.
And among the musical selections this year, Yeah, you know that one. Journey's Don't Stop Believin'. They're among the 25 recordings enshrined in the National Recording Registry at the Library of Congress. And that's the sound of the world we live in this Wednesday, the 13th of April, 2022. Thank you for listening. I'm Mark Webster, Family Life News.